May it please Almighty God to bless us this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 38, and we'll read verse 16. That's the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 38, and reading verse 16. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Well, Hezekiah was a man of God, and therefore the Lord dealt with Hezekiah as was needful in his life. And we should recognize that the Lord graciously deals with us as is needful in our lives. And the result was that it proved to be a time of blessing for Hezekiah and a time of instruction for him. And so it is today in our lives. If we are indeed the children of God, the Lord graciously comes and deals with us and indeed blesses us. And so we find in this 38th chapter account of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is spoken of quite a lot in the Word of God, in the Kings and in the Chronicles, but this is the only place where we read of the Lord's dealings with him. So we're grateful that it is an account of what the Lord did and how he appeared for him. So Amos, the prophet, was sent by the Lord to tell him to set his house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Well, that was not an easy thing, obviously, to assimilate, to realize that he must get moving and get his house ready for the time when he would die. And so such news brought him into a time of sorrow and a time of prayer, because he came and he prayed to God about it. And the result was that the Lord came again through the prophet and said that he would add to him his life 15 years. And so it was a promise from God, and therefore it was a favor of God. And the Lord gave him a wonderful view and a wonderful physical statement as to how he would know that emanated from the Lord, by telling him that the sundial, that means the sun itself, would go back in the sky 10 degrees. And so it did. And so it was clear that the Lord had spoken through the prophet to Hezekiah. And then we read the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. And it's a good thing when we are favored to recover that we're able to testify of what God has done to us and for us in a time of sickness, because it must bring honor and glory to God. And therefore, from the ninth verse, we have the statement of his spiritual dealings with God. And the king said, I saw in the cutting off of my days, I should go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. And so he tells us, I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. He tells us, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove, Mine eyes fail me looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What should I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. So that's a testimony that he gives to us. And then he comes to this 16th verse and he says, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. So it's quite clear that Hezekiah understood the reason for the Lord's dealings with him. And it will be really good for us if we understand the dealings of the Lord with us, because he says, O Lord, by these things men live. It would appear, therefore, that if these things had not come into Hezekiah's life, he would have been just carrying on, we might say, almost aimlessly, without any true and real desire about his natural life and about his spiritual life. And so he tells us, by these things men live. Without them, it would seem that he would not have been found in that healthy state spiritually. And what a blessing, therefore, if in our lives we find that God takes us in hand and deals with us in love to our souls. Because that's really what happened to Hezekiah. He tells us, Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Well, what a great blessing it is to know that God is dealing with us in love to our soul. Surely that is a vital consideration. We don't want to be found just wandering on, as it were, aimlessly in this world, content with the vanities that it can produce. But what a mercy if God, therefore, deals with us, as he dealt with Hezekiah, and brought him to these wonderful conclusions. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. To think that God, therefore, dealt with Hezekiah, and it's good if you and I can trace out God's dealings with us. David, man of God, in the 22nd Psalm, he tells us this: none can keep alive his own soul. We might think that we can. The reality is, left to ourselves, the devil would crowd in and crowd out the things of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need the mercy of God. And of course, in David's life, he had a life of many ups and downs, and probably the worst situation which occurred to him was when he was tempted by the devil with that case of adultery with Bathsheba, and then of course that led on to him murdering her husband by instructing Joab, the chief in the army, to put him right in the front of the war, so that almost certainly he would die, and of course he was killed. Well, David sadly initially thought that his sin would be hidden, but of course our sins are not hidden. God knows all about them. And that's why God in his providence and mercy enabled David to write the 51st Psalm. And he indeed could have used the same words that Hezekiah used. O Lord, by these things men live. Because what did it do? It brought David to be able to write the 51st Psalm. We won't go all through it, but it starts off with these words, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression." That tells us he realized he needed mercy. It tells us he needed the forgiveness of his sins. And so the Lord dealt very graciously with David. O Lord, by these things men live. It caused him to truly seek unto his God, to truly confess his sins unto his God. And what a good thing it is when the Lord has dealt with us in our lives in these ways to have brought us to a similar situation. And you know, another thing that it did in David's life, it made him recognize that he wasn't quite as strong. He wasn't quite as perfect as he perhaps thought at one time he was. And we can read in the 102nd Psalm and the 23rd verse when he tells us, "He weakened my strength in the way." Yes, he weakened David's strength, and he weakens our strength, the strength that we may be relying upon, our natural ability, our natural strength to stand firm, to stand against all the temptations of Satan. And we will have to recognize and learn that sometimes God weakens our strength to show us that left to ourselves, we can't keep alive our own soul. We need God to graciously come and to bless us and to graciously deal with us. So then we come and are able to confirm with Hezekiah, "O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit." It's a great blessing if the Lord God deals with us in love to our soul. We know, of course, also there are many examples in the Word of God, and we can think of the Apostle Peter, who was very confident in his own ability, in his own strength. When the Lord told him that he would deny the Savior three times, he denied it, and he said he would die for the Savior. He would never do such a thing. And yet, just a few hours later, you know, he denied the Lord those three times, and with oaths and curses, he was so vehement in the statement that he did not know the Lord. But of course, the Lord was very gracious to Peter, because he turned and looked upon Peter. And what a mercy it is when God looks upon us, not in a physical way like he did to Peter, but nonetheless, he looks upon us and perhaps touches our heart to show us who we are and what we are. And therefore, what happened to Peter? Didn't it go over his head? Oh no, had a gracious effect, didn't it? And we're told in Matthew 26 and verse 75, the last verse in that chapter, Peter remembered the word of Jesus. Oh yes, he wouldn't be able to forget it, would he? He remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." So did he just carry on? Oh no, it had a blessed effect. And the blessed effect in Peter's life was this. He went out and wept bitterly. Surely we can say, in his case, these words were true. O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. The Lord deals with his people in different ways. But he does deal with them. And he does bring them to recognize their dependence upon the power of God, the keeping power of God. That's why Peter in his epistle tells us, kept by the power of God through grace unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He realized that he could only be kept by the power of God. By these things men live. And what a good and blessed favor it is for us today. If the Lord deals with us, like he did Hezekiah, in love to his soul, like he did with David and Peter, in love to their soul, and may it be so with us, in love to our soul, that we can acknowledge that the Lord is and has dealt with us, and through these things, our life, our spiritual life, is lively, and we are not dead, and we're not left to ourselves. We have the case of Job also, and I'm sure these examples are very different, and yet they're all powerful examples of the work of God in the souls of his people. Job was a very prosperous man. God had blessed him abundantly. And it would seem that God was not ignorant of God's blessing and favor toward him. And he was concerned about his children and how they operated, and therefore prayed for them. And yet you see, the Lord saw fit to bring adversity into the life of Job, and indeed very serious adversity. So basically, he really lost almost everything. Initially, you see, he was blessed and able to say, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But then you see, as the days went on, and his three friends came and reasoned with him, we find then that there was from time to time bitterness springing up in his soul. But the three friends, and life has also, who spoke to him, really didn't have any really good effect. And they said many good things, some bad things, but many good things, but they did not really lay hold upon Job until we come towards the end of the account of Job. The Lord spake. You see, when the Lord speaks, there is power in the word. And there's no room then to argue. There's no room to disagree, because the Lord speaks very directly and very clearly. And so he spoke to Job and convinced him of his situation and convinced him of his sin. And so in the very last chapter, the 42nd chapter in the book of Job, in the 5th and 6th verses, this is what Job says. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth. That was, of course, the eye of faith. Now mine eye seeth thee. And the result, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's a great blessing, isn't it? If the Lord brings us to that position. O Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. Job was not going to be cast off. The Lord was dealing with him in love to his soul. But it brought him right down. And he had to say in the previous chapters, behold, I am vile. He didn't have any great opinion of himself. The Lord had convicted him. The Lord had condemned him. By these things men live. And yet, as we know, the last section of that 42nd chapter tells us how the Lord prospered Job He was told to pray for his friends, and he did. And God greatly blessed the latter end of Job. But in his life, there had been accomplished the gracious working out of this word, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Surely is a blessing to have God to deal with us as he did with Hezekiah in love to his soul. It's a wonderful statement. Surely it just brings such power to this passage to realize that these things were proved to Job. God loved him. And to prove to Hezekiah that God loved him. And Peter and David. And then just lastly, perhaps we'll think about Joseph. God dealt with Joseph. Again, we can imagine Joseph, can't we? The Lord had given him those two remarkable dreams. And then his father told him to go and find his brethren and find out how they were doing. And we can imagine him traveling to find them, walking through the fields, probably thinking about all the natural things and perhaps enjoying the scenes that he saw. Little did he appreciate, little did he understand what was before him. And yet, you see, the Lord was dealing with him graciously. The Lord was dealing with him to show him his power and to show him what he would do for him. And we know, we can read in the Psalms how he was in prison, how the word of God tried him, how he was in pain with the chains and irons that he was in. But nonetheless, the Lord had not forsaken him. And later on, after his father died, and his brethren had come to him fearful of what would happen to them, he was able to tell them these words, words of truth in Genesis 50 and verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God dealt with love to Joseph, and of course God dealt with love to so many in preserving them and providing food for them. God's purpose for Joseph was very great and very wonderful. And surely this was true of him. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of his spirit. It's a gracious thing then to know that God was dealing with them. Now then, what did it do really in these cases? What did it do in the case of Hezekiah? Well, it brought them to prayer. And what would it do to us today? If things appear to be against us, what would it do if we are a true believer? It would bring us in prayer. And that won't be just a mere form of words. It will be crying unto God. As we've already spoken of David's prayer, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Indeed, that was the case of Hezekiah, because he tells us in this 17th verse, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. clear it is from this verse that the Lord had brought before Hezekiah in that illness, the condition that he was in, brought before him to realize his sins, not just the odd sin. No, we're told all sins, all my sins. What a catalogue there must have been. What a catalogue there is in our lives. And what a blessing if God comes as he did to Hezekiah and gave him, therefore, that wonderful evidence. The Lord had cast all his sins behind his back to be remembered no more forever. What a mercy, therefore, for us today to have the same application of God's word to us, to know that all our sins are cast behind the back of our God, there to be seen no more. We are forgiven. We have been redeemed. And it's through such a condition and such a situation that leads us today to look to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and have some understanding of the cost to the Saviour it was so that all our sins might be cast behind his back. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life. It cost him that suffering throughout his life, and especially, of course, in the judgment hall, and especially in the hour of crucifixion, when his father hid his face from him, and also, of course, in Gethsemane. Oh, they were dark hours in the life of the Saviour. But the Lord Jesus Christ willingly suffered so that you and I today might go free. O Lord, by these things men live. It'll be a blessing in our lives. The Lord brings us into situations. The Lord has a variety of positions to bring us into so that we find ourselves crying unto God, seeking God for mercy, praying to him, and then obtaining by his grace the result of forgiveness. And what will this do? Surely it will make to us the Lord Jesus Christ valuable. It'll make the Lord Jesus Christ precious to us. He was indeed precious to Peter, as he tells us. He was redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And that's no difference for us today. It's the only way of redemption. It's the only way of our sins being taken away, through the precious blood of Christ. Well, it'll be a mercy if the Lord leads us in this way, and we can say to the honour and glory of God, O Lord, by these things men live. O Lord, by these things I live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit, because God has dealt with me in love to my soul, so that I do find I am indeed spiritually alive. And of course, Hezekiah then draws our attention to such a great truth. He says, for the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. That surely is a very obvious statement, a very solemn statement, a very great statement. But then he goes on. The living, those who've been dealt with by God graciously, those who've been able to say, O Lord, by these things men live, the hand of God has been upon us. We do want to be able to have the evidence in our lives like these characters I mentioned, who knew the hand of God upon them, that we in our day may also know the hand of God upon us, and to therefore have the blessed evidence that we are indeed amongst the living, we're not amongst the dead, and the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. True, isn't it? Hezekiah desired to praise God for his deliverance. The true church of God desire to praise God for their deliverance and to testify of how the Lord has graciously delivered them. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Well, if the Lord has dealt graciously with us, if we can come and say, O Lord, by these things men live, the Lord has had mercy upon us. Have we indeed come in with Hezekiah and praise God? Praise God. Hezekiah said, he shall praise thee as I do this day. He doesn't say, well, I'll think about praising thee perhaps tomorrow, perhaps in the weeks ahead, perhaps in the months ahead, if it's suitable and if it's right. But of course, I need some wonderful revelation to do this. Well, of course, we don't, do we? If we have the evidence of God's gracious hand upon us, the wonderful blessing the Lord has dealt with us, we don't need any great revelation. We have the wonderful evidence of God's mercy upon us, that we are amongst the living. And what a blessing, therefore, if we do praise the Lord. Praise the Lord as I do this day. To the people, he tells us, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Good it is if fathers can make known this truth to the children. And the children can speak of those things which the Lord has done for them. And he tells us, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. It wasn't just a one-off occasion. It wasn't just something which he desired, as it were, to get off his chest and then to carry on and forget about it. No, he wanted to praise his God. He wanted to glorify the name of his God. He wanted to exalt the Lord. And what a mercy for us today. If we desire to honor and glorify our God, the word of God is very solemn when it tells us, those that honor me, I will honor, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And God knows whether we have honored the Lord or whether by our lack of praising him, we have, in essence, despised him. Well, the word of God tells us, those that honor me, I will honor, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I'm sure we don't want to be lightly esteemed by our God. I'm sure we desire the Lord will look upon us, the Lord will honor us. The Lord honored Hezekiah. The Lord honored David. The Lord honored Peter. The Lord honored Job and honored Joseph. My friends, as you read through the catalogue of the saints of God in the Word of God, who were able to testify of what God had done for them. Yes, they were honoring the name of their God, and God honored them. And so may you and I be continually concerned, just like Hezekiah was here, all the days of his life, all the days of his life in the house of the Lord, to thank him, to praise him for what he'd done. It was, of course, a great deliverance in his life, being delivered from death for those added 15 years. But you see, whatever God's done for us, however small it may seem to be, it's worthy of praise, because the Almighty God, the ruler of the universe, has looked down upon us and touched our hearts. And what a mercy if he's drawn us to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, drawn us to cry to him for mercy, and drawn us to receive that great and glorious gift of forgiveness, the great gift of his mercy toward us. Well, says Hezekiah, in all these things is the life of my spirit. We want to be healthy, I'm sure, in our souls. We don't want to be dead. We don't want to be those who dishonor the Lord. But may we, in the day and age in which we live, which is, of course, a sad day, really, but what a blessed day it is when those who feared the Lord spake often one to another. You know, it's our privilege, isn't it, tomorrow to lay to rest the body of Sylvia Ford. Her concern continually was to praise and to glorify her God. She always wanted to speak well of the Saviour. And every opportunity she had, she would testify of the Lord's goodness to her, and how she had been looking forward to that day when she would be with Christ, as the Apostle Paul said, which is far better. She was not ashamed of her religion. She was not ashamed of her faith. The Lord had done great things for her, whereof she was glad. And so Hezekiah had been one who benefited from great things that the Lord had done for him, whereof he was glad and desired to show forth the praise of his God. Oh, my friends, in the day and age in which we live, may it be our great concern to honour and glorify the Saviour. Indeed, those words are often so appropriate that we read, let us exalt his name together. And the Church of God joined together to exalt his name. It's a time when God's name is honoured and glorified, and our souls are strengthened. Our souls are blessed. It's the most wonderful times that you and I can experience in our little life on this earth, to exalt the name of our God and to testify indeed in similar words to that which we read together tonight. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit, so wilt thou recover me and make me to live. He had been recovered, and he did live. And what a blessing it was. And may it be a blessing for us today, and a blessing for us every day, as we ponder the life of Hezekiah and those that I mentioned this evening, to realize a good example they left behind, to encourage us that we may be concerned in our little lives to realize what a debt we owe to our great and glorious Saviour for redeeming our souls, a debt that we shall never be able to fully repay. But my friends, let us not be backward in praising our God. Let us not be backward in thanking our God for his love, for his mercy, for his great grace, if we have received it, for his honour and glory, and for our souls, eternal good. Amen.